Micro Europa.
Sounds.
Moderne. Fiche.
Terrific.
Micro Europa.
Sounds.
Comme moi.
Comme eu.
Like me.
Micro Europa.
Bringing young Europe together.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Ausgabe unseres Mikro-Europa-Live-Talks hier im freien Radio Wüstewelle auf der 96,6 und auch als Livestream im Internet. Mein Name ist Pradnya Bivalkar und ich bin heute die Moderatorin. Zu Gast bei mir im Studio sind heute Uttaran Das Gupta aus Neu-Delhi, Digbijay Mishra aus Bangalore und Diakoli aus Mumbai. Ich darf Sie ganz herzlich begrüßen. Meine Gäste können leider kein Deutsch und daher werde ich abwechselnd auf Deutsch und Englisch sprechen. Hello you guys and welcome on the show today.
Hello.
Hi.
Digbijay, Uttaran und Dia sind Journalisten und zurzeit in Tübingen zu Gast im Rahmen des Medienbotschafter-Indien-Deutschland-Programms. Das Programm Medienbotschafter-Indien-Deutschland wird in Kooperation zwischen der Universität Tübingen und der Robert-Bosch-Stiftung durchgeführt. Ziel des Programms ist, einen bedeutenden Beitrag zur Völkerverständigung zu leisten. Im Rahmen unserer heutigen Sendung werden wir mit den indischen Kollegen über diverse Sachen sprechen. Literatur, Kultur, Wirtschaft, Pressefreiheit und so weiter. Wir werden aber auch etwas über ihre Erfahrungen in Deutschland hören. Zur Einstimmung nun hören wir Song for the World von Nicole.
Just a song for the world.
Das war nun Nicole mit Song for the World. Hier bei Mikro Europa auf der Wüstewelle reden wir mit drei indischen Journalisten. Die indischen Kollegen kommen aus Mumbai, Neu-Delhi und Bangalore. So, let's switch to English. I would like to request all of you to briefly introduce yourselves. Let's begin with Dia.
Hi, I'm Dia. I'm from Mumbai, where I work with an arts and culture paper. I primarily write on food, books, music, and I'm here in Germany to explore some of those similar interests. And I will be writing about the migrants and exploring their culture through food, which I feel is a window into exploring, I mean, it's the best window to explore their culture and the history of them in this country. So far, my stay in Germany has been restricted to Tübingen, which I feel, despite being a really small place, is a really interesting sort of, I'm hoping it's an interesting microcosm of the larger country. It's really warm, welcoming, and there are a whole bunch of people from all around the world. We have seen in our short stint here migrants from different places. We have seen an Afghan concert. We have met Syrians on the streets and gone out and had drinks with them. So it's really, really interesting and friendly, and I hope that this continues throughout our trip. It's only been 2 weeks, so I feel that I'm hoping that this is just the beginning of what the rest of Germany is going to be.
Thank you for that. And Digvijay?
Hi, I'm Digvijay, and I work for a newspaper called The Times of India in Bangalore. I largely cover startups and emerging businesses and write exciting news. What I'll be doing in Germany is to draw a parallel in terms of startup capital Berlin, how it compares with, you know, Silicon Valley, China, back home in India, and look at entrepreneurship, what are the challenges, how does it look to sort of grow further in the next couple of years. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that and quite excited about that. And of course, secondly, I will also look into, you know, immigrants' contribution to the economy, given that at the time when the AFD is rising in Germany. And I think in if I have to describe Tübingen quickly, it'll be a cute little town. It's what I found very fascinating is, while these buildings are one of the oldest in the history in the whole world, there are Tesla chargers installed in these buildings, in some of those buildings, so which is quite a unique mix. And I get to walk a lot here, so which is also very nice.
Hi, I'm Uttaran. I'm a journalist from New Delhi. I work for Business Standard in New Delhi. It's a financial paper, and I'm an editor there. But I also write a column on cinema and popular culture, and also another one on literature. In Germany, I shall be working on Franz Osten, who was a German film director. But he also worked in Bollywood and gave India one of its first blockbusters. And I'm also looking at Holderlin, who was a student in Tübingen, who lived for a long time in Tübingen. Yeah, these are the two stories I'm exploring. And Tübingen is a marked difference from New Delhi, where I come from. It's peaceful, it's quiet, compared to the chaotic city that I live in. So yes, it's been a good stay here. And I'm looking forward to exploring the rest of the country.
Thank you for that. Um das jetzt für unsere deutsche Zuhörer kurz zusammenzufassen. Als erstes hatten wir Dia. Dia kommt aus Mumbai und arbeitet für eine Kulturzeitung, Mint Lounge. Und freut sich sehr, dass sie in einer kleinen Stadt wie Tübingen gerade sein darf. Unter die Themen, die sie interessiert, sie schreibt gerne über Essen und vor allem auch Esskultur in verschiedenen Ländern. Und so ein ähnliches Thema hat sie auch vor, während ihres Deutschlandaufenthaltes. Sie möchte gerne über Esskultur als Mittel zur Integration was schreiben und freut sich sehr, dass sie in Tübingen und dann von Tübingen aus weiter nach Berlin gehen wird. Als den zweiten Kollegen hatten wir den Digvijay, der aus Bangalore kommt und arbeitet für die größte Zeitung Indiens, The Times of India, und ist eigentlich ein Business-Journalist und während seines Deutschlandaufenthaltes möchte er sehr gerne über die Startup-Szene in Berlin, aber auch allgemein in Deutschland was schreiben. Dazu noch möchte er über das Thema den Beitrag, den die Immigranten zu der deutschen Wirtschaft leisten, auch was machen und ein optimale Geschichte, die er auch gerne nachgehen möchte, wäre die Startup-Szene mit Bezug auf die Migranten. Also es gibt ja in Berlin auch ganz viele Startups, die sich mit den Flüchtlingen und mit Migranten befassen. Als den dritten Kandidat haben wir heute den Uttarandas Gupta, der aus Neu-Delhi kommt und als Redakteur für die Wirtschaftszeitung Business Standard arbeitet. Obwohl er bei der Wirtschaftszeitung arbeitet, schreibt er über Film und Literatur wöchentlich. Und während seines Deutschlandaufenthaltes möchte er gerne über Franz Osten und seinen Beitrag zu der indischen Filmindustrie was schreiben. Und als das ist sein Hauptinteresse. Und es gibt dann auch noch weitere Interessen von ihm. Über die hören wir aber gleich. Jetzt machen wir aber eine kurze musikalische Pause. Danach setzen wir unser Gespräch mit den indischen Kollegen fort. Davor hören wir aber ein Lied aus dem Film Swadesh aus dem Jahr 2004. Das Lied ist eins von den zwei Liedern, die Digvijay uns mitgebracht hat. So Digvijay, we're talking about the song, Ye Jo Desh Hai Tera. And can you tell us very briefly why this song is so special to you?
It's composed by A.R. Rahman, which is and he's one of the best this country has produced. He's got two Oscars for us, and this song to talk about, you know, it's patriotic but not nationalistic, and it's very important and interesting to listen to this song in current scenario. And of course, when you're away from your country, and even though you're enjoying every moment and learning new things, but there are moments when you sort of miss your country and you want to be there. There's a longing for your country, and this song largely describes that and talks about how the person wants to be back home. There are small things that he's missing, and there are positive changes that he wants to bring in.
So, jetzt hören wir uns das Lied an, Ye Jo Desh Hai Tera aus dem Film Swadesh aus dem Jahr 2004. Ye Jo Desh Hai Tera, Swadesh Hai Tera, Tujhe Hai Pukara. ये जो देश है तेरा स्वदेश है तेरा तुझे है पुकारा ये वो बंधन है जो कभी टूट नहीं सकता मिट्टी की है जो खुशबू कैसे भुलाएगा तू चाहे कहीं जाए तू लौट के आएगा नई नई राहों में दबी दबी आहों में खोए खोए दिल से तेरे कोई ये कहेगा ये जो देश तुझे है पुकारा ये वो बंधन है जो कभी टूट नहीं सकता तो पालिया अब
अब है क्या कमी, यूं तो सारे सुख है बरसे, पर दूर तू है अपने घर से, आ लौट चल तू अब दीवाने, जहाँ कोई तो तुझे अपना माने, आवाज दे तुझे बुलाने, वही दे
Das war jetzt Ye jo des hai tera aus Swadesh. Ihr hört den Radio Mikro Europa Live Talk hier auf der Wüstenwelle. Zu Gast bei uns sind heute Digvijay Uttaranandiya. Mit den indischen Kollegen werde ich auf Englisch reden und später kurz zusammenfassen. So, Dia, you write about food and here you are looking at writing about the food culture of the migrants. Could you please tell us a bit more about this? Why do you think something as simple as food is an important aspect to look at when we talk about migration, cultural integration, etc.?
Firstly, I don't think food is simple because it's a window into a larger culture of a people. It's a way that in another country, migrants are preserving their homeland. There are very few things that they can hold on to and recreate their home through. And food is one of the most important means to do it. Also, in a narrative which is full of sort of tragic incidents and all that you've left behind, food is the one sort of positive element which takes them forward into their future lives. And it's integration and exchange that happens both ways. It's about the migrants coming in and cooking the food they used to make and about the country that they come into and how that country learns about the people through the food that they make. And it overall is just a really joyous occasion to share a meal. And it's through this kind of an occasion, I think, that the best kind of exchanges and assimilation and integration can happen.
Okay, and so to talk about something very concrete, I think you'll be staying in Berlin.
Yes.
and looking at some of the projects that are
right. So I'm going to be looking at nonprofits and other voluntary organizations which are working directly with the refugees and creating these cafes where refugees can showcase their food. They're also helping them to come out with book projects and also do cooking classes. So that's some of the things I'll be looking at. And I'll also be looking at the older migrants, so the Turkish migrants and even the Italians who have left an indelible mark on the food culture of Germany and Berlin specifically, where every neighborhood has a different character and a different migrant background in that sense.
And I also believe you also want to look at the music of protest in
yes.
Germany. So maybe you can say a bit about that.
So Germany has had a long history of protest music and from the days of the Berlin Wall to current day underground EDM music. There's a lot that's going on in that space. And I want to trace that trajectory from the 80s and 90s to modern day and see how the forms of music from rock and roll to electronic music, how they have been used as an instrument of protest.
Thank you. Um das jetzt für unsere Zuhörer kurz zusammenzufassen, Dia würde gerne, während ihres Berlin-Aufenthaltes, über die Esskultur und die Esskultur der Migranten was schreiben. Ihrer Meinung nach ist Essen und Esskultur keine einfache Sache, sondern ist sie extrem kompliziert. Gleichzeitig aber auch eine sehr schöne Sache, insbesondere für die Flüchtlinge, die von sehr, sehr schwierigen Umständen auch geflohen sind. Für die ist es dann auch eine der wenigen positiven Sachen, auf die sie dann auch gerne zurückschauen. Und das ist dann auch ein Teil ihrer Kultur, die sie dann ihren Mitbewohnern oder Mitbürgern hier in Deutschland auch gerne zeigen möchten. Und das findet sie ein sehr, sehr wichtiges Medium, um eine Kultur näher kennenzulernen. Sie würde dann mit ihren Beiträgen hat sie die Hoffnung, dass sie einen wichtigen Beitrag dazu leistet, um den Lesern und um ihre allgemeine Audienz kurz das zu zeigen, dass Integration oder auch Sensibilisierung, was andere Kulturen anbelangt, auch durch einfachen, aber gleichzeitig schwierigen Sachen wie Essen auch möglich ist. Berlin findet sie deswegen spannend, weil nicht nur Berlin, aber auch die deutsche Esskultur oder auch die deutsche Küche, wie sie sich in den letzten Jahren entwickelt hat, findet sie das besonders spannend, weil die italienischen Gastarbeiter, die in den 60er, 70er Jahren hierher gekommen sind, danach kamen die türkischen Gastarbeiter, die haben ja auch ihre Esskultur mitgebracht. Und die ist jetzt mittlerweile, die italienische Küche oder auch die türkische Küche gehört mittlerweile auch zu der deutschen Küche. Und das findet sie spannend und darüber wird sie auch was schreiben wollen. Das zweite Thema, was sie interessiert, ist die Musik des Protests, insbesondere die EDM-Bewegung in den 80er und 90ern und dann auch die Entwicklung in der Musikszene in Deutschland. In der Zeit interessiert sie und sie möchte auch dazu was schreiben. Bevor ich mich mit Uttaran weiter austausche, hören wir ein Lied von Momina Mustesan und Asim Azhar. Das Lied gehört zu dem Genre der Fusion-Musik und beinhaltet Elemente des pakistanischen Pop-Eras aus den 90er Jahren. Das Lied heißt Tera Wo Pyar. Jetzt hören wir es.
करते हुए थक के सो जाती हूँ सिरहाने आसमां जाने कहाँ मुड़ जाती है देखते देखते तुझे ये गलियां तेरी तरह खुशबू चले तारे
So, Uttaran, coming to you. One of your primary stories that you want to do during your time here is on Franz Osten. Not a lot of German audience, but I'm sure also not a lot of Indian audience is familiar with him. Could you possibly tell us a bit more about him? Why is his contribution to cinema, especially Indian cinema, so important?
I guess not a lot of Germans know about him because he did not make too many German films. At the beginning of his career, he did a few silent movies. But he was one of the pioneers of cinema. And his brother, Peter Obermeyer, helped set up the company that is now Bavaria Films. In India, so in the 30s, Austin, who was a member of the Nazi Party, whether willingly or unwillingly, I don't know. A lot of people were members without being really great supporters of the things that the party did. Anyhow, so in the 30s, he met these two Indian filmmakers, Himanshu Rai and Devika Rani. They were in Germany learning the art of filmmaking. He went to Bombay with them, where Himanshu and Devika, who got married, set up Bombay Talkies. And there they started making talkies. And talkies were a new thing in India as elsewhere in the world. And they delivered one of India's first blockbusters, Achyut Kanya, and a number of other very, very popular films with popular songs. I think he's very important because the subjects that he deals with, like casteism, nationalism, are, you know, have made a staged comeback in Indian political debate, in Indian public life. And the way he deals with them is very, very progressive, very, very contemporary. So I think going back and watching his movies, which might seem a little dated to us, would have some impact. And of course, he's one of the pioneers of Indian cinema in that way.
Um das jetzt für unsere Zuhörer kurz zusammenzufassen, der Uttaran Dasgupta, der aus Neu-Delhi kommt, der möchte während seines Deutschlandaufenthaltes gerne zu dem Thema oder zu der Person von Franz Osten recherchieren. Franz Osten ist nach wie vor einer der Pioniere des indischen Kinos, kam aus Bayern. Und sein Partner damals ist auch der Mitgründer von den Bayerischen Filmwerken. Der Franz Osten war damals Mitglied der NSDAP. Und ob freiwillig oder gezwungen, weiß man nicht. Aber der war auf jeden Fall ein Mitglied der Nazi-Partei und ist damals dann mit zwei indischen Kollegen, die damals in Deutschland waren, Himanshu Rai und Devika Rani, mit denen ist er nach Mumbai ausgewandert und hat dann die Firma Bombay Talkies mitgegründet. Uttarans Meinung nach ist Franz Osten deswegen wichtig, oder ist es wichtig, über seine Person zu wissen, weil seine Herangehensweise an Themen wie das Kastensystem oder wie Nationalismus, insbesondere in dem indischen Kontext, findet er sehr spannend. Franz Osten war damals ein Teil des Produktionsteams von dem ersten Blockbuster Indiens, der hieß Achyut Kanya. Und Uttaran findet, dass dieser Film oder auch die weiteren Filme, wo Franz Osten mitgewirkt hat, das sind einfach Filme, die auch nach wie vor in heutiger Zeit an ihrer Relevanz nicht viel verloren haben. Das sind nach wie vor aktuelle Themen, besonders Themen wie Kastensystem oder Nationalismus und auch Patriotismus. Das ist eine sehr, sehr heikle Debatte in Indien. Und er findet, dass Franz Ostens Herangehensweise an so ein Thema war, auch für damalige Verhältnisse, aber auch für heute, sehr progressiv. So after that very interesting answer, Uttaran, let me come back to you after the translation of your interesting answer. Let's hear one of your favorite songs, which is Dil Ka Bhavar Kare Pukar, from a film Tere Ghar Ke Samne from the year 1963. Do tell us a bit about this song and why this song is so close to your heart.
This is probably the only song that was shot in this medieval monument in Delhi called the Qutub Minar. Mm-hmm. And some parts of the song were shot inside the monument. This song is very close to my heart because it is composed by S.D. Burman, who is one of India's great musicians. But also it is from this movie, which is about the construction of two houses. And the lead protagonist, played by Devanand, he's an architect constructing both these houses. And in the end, he constructs both the houses looking exactly the same. So this is a metaphor for the construction of the nation, which was a clear obsession with Indian filmmakers right after independence. So yeah, that is why it's on one hand, you have this medieval monument. On the other hand, you have these two modern houses being constructed in Delhi. That is why I like this song so much.
So jetzt hören wir uns das Lied Dil Ka Bhavar Kare Pukar. Aus dem Film Tere Ghar Ke Samne, Jahr 1963.
Pyar ka raag suno, pyar ka raag suno re. Dil ka bhavar kare pukar. पुकार प्यार का राग सुनो प्यार का राग सुनो रे तुम गुलाब का क्या जवाब आपका जो अदा है वो बहार है आज दिल की बेकली आ गई जुबान पर बात ये है तुमसे प्यार है दिल तुम्ही को दिया रे प्यार का राग सुनो रे कब मर करे पुकार प्यार का राग सुनो प्यार का राग सुनो रे तुम मिटाना पर न तुम गिराना आंसू की तरह निगाह से प्यार की ऊंचाई इश्क की गहराई पूछ लो हमारी आह से आंसुआ छू लिया रे प्यार का राग सुनो रे दिल का भंवर करे पुकार प्यार का राग सुनो प्यार का राग सुनो रे हसीन तार पे हम न बैठे हार के साया बन के साथ हम चले आज मेरे संग तू गूंजे दिल की आरजू तुझसे मेरी आंख जब मिले जाने क्या कर दिया रे प्यार का राग सुनो रे दिल का भंवर करे पुकार प्यार का राग सुनो प्यार का राग सुनो रे का ये आंचल प्यार का ये बादल फिर हमें जमीन पे ले चला अब तो हाथ थाम लो एक नजर का जाम दो इस नए सफर का वास्ता तुम मेरे सा प्यारे प्यार का राग सुनो रे कब मर करे पुकार प्यार का राग सुनो प्यार का राग सुनो रे
मूविंग ऑन दिग्विजय यू आर अ बिजनेस जर्नलिस्ट
यस
As far as I understand, you're interested in looking at the contribution of migrants to the German economy.
Right.
Could you elaborate a bit on why it is an important topic, especially considering the current very dangerous mix of upsurge of trade sanctions, populism, xenophobia, etc.?
Yeah. I think the current scenario makes it more interesting to talk about this issue. We all heard Merkel saying, "Wir schaffen das." And it got a global acclaim and also a lot of criticism within the country. We read that, you know, this is the first time in a long, long time that a party like AfD has entered the German parliament, Bundestag, which is a cause of concern for everyone globally and within Germany. And at this time, we need to look at how important immigrants can be for German economy. I mean, the country is stably at a fast growing pace path. And I've been reading a lot of articles and have read opinion articles which talk about how Germany's growth could collapse without these immigrants being there. So for this proposal, I also want to compare it with how things are going back home in Asia. There's a lot of crisis with Rohingya, and India has not particularly been welcoming as well. So I want to compare the new immigrants who are coming to Germany, what are they doing for the country's economy, comparing with, say, people who have moved here 20 years back. And basically comparing these aspects and comparing it with, you know, Asia. And will be very interesting to look at that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Um das kurz zusammenzufassen, Dickbücher interessiert sich für das Thema der Beitrag der Migranten zu der deutschen Wirtschaft. Er bezieht sich auf die Aussage damals von Angela Merkel, wir schaffen das, wofür sie damals auch sehr viel Kritik, aber auch sehr viel Lob geerntet hatte. Es sind verschiedene Entwicklungen in den letzten Jahren, die ihn zu Bedenken bringen. Zum einen sitzt die AfD jetzt im Deutschen Bundestag. Zweitens wird nicht so viel geredet über den Beitrag, den die Migranten zu der deutschen Wirtschaft geleistet haben. Und seiner Meinung nach wäre es für die deutsche Wirtschaft niemals möglich gewesen, ohne den Migranten diesen Fortschritt zu machen. Und er möchte jetzt gerne das im heutigen Kontext nochmal betonen und das auch recherchieren, wie es ohne Migranten unmöglich wäre, auch heute die deutsche Wirtschaft so aufrechtzuhalten, so wie sie ist. Und vor allem möchte er das auf den indischen Kontext übertragen und schauen, ob die Migranten, die gerade in Indien aus Myanmar, aus Bangladesch auch ausgewandert sind, besonders die Rohingyas, das ist eine Minderheit aus Myanmar, die gerade auf der Flucht ist, ob es nicht schlau wäre, die einfach auch mit zu integrieren, weil die können auch einen bedeutenden Beitrag zu der indischen Wirtschaft leisten. Und das sind halt so ein paar Schnittstellen, wo er auch, wenn möglich, Vergleiche ziehen möchte. So on that note, let us now listen to another beautiful song, this time a favorite of Dia. It is a Bengali song called Tumi Je Amar. Could you tell us a bit about this song, Dia?
So originally this song is from a 1957 film, a very popular Bengali film. But the reason I associate with this song is because, and I love it so much, is because it was used in 2014 in this Bengali film called Labor of Love, where the entire film is a silent film with only ambient sounds. And it's about a couple who need to work different shifts because it's a post-2008 recession. And they only meet each other when the shifts sort of change. And the song plays during very crucial moments. And it's a very beautiful sort of delineation of their coming and going through their daily lives. And it's a wonderful expression of their love.
Thank you. So let us listen to a Bengali song now. This lead, Tumi Je Amar. Amar paran
Micro Europa.
Micro Europa.
Ihr hört Radio Micro Europa mit einem Live-Talk auf der Wüstenwelle. Meine Gäste heute sind Digvijay Mishra, Diya Kohli und Uttaran Das Gupta. Sie sind Journalisten in Indien und gerade in Deutschland im Rahmen des Medienbotschafter Indien-Deutschland-Programms. So, we have spoken so far about some of the specific topics that interest you. Now I would like to hear your opinions about a very sensitive subject which concerns your profession, that is freedom of press in India. What are your opinions about that?
Well, it's become difficult to keep the freedom of press, I think. My colleagues will agree with me. Not because there's any direct censorship, not because the government is clamping down with any kind of laws or anything, but there is a pushback which is on a more subtle level. Denying access has been one of the major strengths of the government. Also, there has also been a pushback from, I think, big corporate lobbies, from big corporate organizations who can, you know, sue you for ridiculous sums of money. So you have to be really careful about what you're writing about them. They can stop giving you advertisements. And because Indian media is mostly privately run, privately owned, it needs advertisements to survive. So, yeah, there has been problems. And it has only aggravated over the past few years, I think. And, yeah, it's not only because of the government. I think it's because of a lot of other factors as well.
And do you think there's also an aspect of self-censorship that has come in the past few years?
Of course. Because it's like, you know, media organization is, as an economic entity, it's much, much smaller than the government or the big corporate houses or other organizations. So a media organization always has to be careful about what it's saying, what it's writing, which is a good thing in one hand, but it also restricts the freedom that journalists should have to be able to write and discuss subjects.
And what do you think, Digvijay?
I largely agree with Uttaran what he's saying, but I also feel that more and more we are seeing it's not subtle anymore. We saw one of the top editors of a leading national daily was fired because our prime minister didn't like what he wrote or a certain column that he ran, which was largely about rising hate crimes in India. So, I mean, I'll be honest also, I mean, prior to this also, there have been times where government has tried putting pressure on various media companies and newspapers and publications. But I think what I'm seeing right now in the last 3-4 years is something which is kind of extreme to me. And of course, which is why, self-censorship has also come. But we are seeing more and more incidents of few editors being fired by their companies because government has kind of directly told them they are not happy with the coverage certain companies are doing. So that is kind of sad. and worrying.
And do you think this problem is restricted to coverage of minorities, or is it in general coverage?
I think in general, because I think, you know, I mean, economy-wise, we are not doing that great. Mm-hmm. But, you know, data, the beauty of the data is that, you know, you can present it in a way to suit your narrative. And we have seen that happening enough number of times back home as well. So I don't think it's not restricted to any particular topic. Anywhere where the government thinks it's a sensitive issue, they want to clamp down and sort of. But of course, having said this, there are media organizations, there are reporters within media organizations who are doing a lot of good work.
Mm-hmm. Andhia?
And I think one of the reasons this is also happening is that journalists have become very careful because they're not assured of backing from their editors very often. And people, whatever opinions they voice, whether it's on social media or in some other case, the first reaction is to actually let go of them rather than support them, because you are aligned to a particular corporate organization. So you are aligned, like my colleague Uttaran said, there are advertisers in question, there are all these larger issues in place. So everyone is very careful. The edit desk in papers, which is responsible for creating better copy and research, fact-checking, has also become sort of like your new police, who is also checking your language to see what you're writing and censoring that in a way to align with the paper's policy, which makes everyone just way more careful, and which is, again, not always a bad thing, but also scared about the repercussions.
And do you think that, so for instance, in Germany in the past few years, the term Lügenpresse has again been used, not increasingly, but in more often than it used to be used earlier. And in India, I believe there's a similar term called the prostitute. So if you're a very left liberal kind of a journalist who doesn't agree with everything that the government is saying, you're suddenly labeled as a prostitute because you're opposing the majoritarian view. So what is your take on that? Do you think the Indian media is still looked at as a reliable source of information, or are they losing their credibility?
I think it's a mix of both. For many, print is still somewhat of a bastion of credibility, but television is very, very rapidly losing all form of any kind of credibility, as far as I know.
So people are, us journalists have to sort of watch sometimes television or, you know, reach out to various media options that are there. But in general, the masses, they have stopped watching television. However, having said that, what is happening right now with Indian televisions, what I see is that if you are a person with views, you know, matching with the right wing of party, then you will go to certain channel and try to sort of, you know, validate your views further.
So like living in a media bubble.
Yeah, and those channels are also playing on that. Though they are feeding you what you want.
Right.
And I don't think that's a good indication.
Yeah, I think just to take on from what Digvijay was saying, one example is the results to the state election that came out yesterday, where there's a neck and neck between the two major parties or two major groups. And different media houses reported it absolutely differently. One side saying that the Bharatiya Janata Party had won, the other side saying the Bharatiya Janata Party had lost. So I think people are watching what they want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what is happening. Though, of course, as Diya said, the print media still retains some amount of credibility. Yeah.
Um das jetzt kurz zusammenzufassen, ich habe meine indische Kollegen gefragt, wie die Lage der Pressefreiheit und insgesamt die Presse und die, ihre Vertrauenswürdigkeit ist. Und daraufhin haben die indischen Kollegen gesagt, dass es in letzter Zeit, besonders in den letzten 3-4 Jahren, sehr schwierig geworden ist, besonders weil die aktuelle Regierung versucht, keinen direkten Zugang zu vertraulichen Statistik zu gewährleisten für die Journalisten. Die indischen Medien sind auch sehr, sehr abhängig von den Umsatz, den sie machen durch Werbung. Und deswegen können sie die finanziellen Interessen von Berichterstattung nicht unbedingt trennen. Dazu noch gibt es auch einen Aspekt der Selbstzensur. Vor allem, weil die Journalisten meistens das Gefühl haben, dass sie keine Rückendeckung haben von ihren Chefredakteuren. Dazu noch meinte Dick Bitcher, dass in letzter Zeit auch ein Chefredakteur gefeuert worden ist, weil er eine Kolumne drüber geschrieben hat, über die Hate Crimes in India. Und er meint, das ist jetzt zwar nichts Neues, aber es nimmt gerade tendenziell sehr, sehr stark zu und nimmt auch eine sehr, sehr, sehr gefährliche Gestalt an. Dazu noch kommt auch ich habe dann auch die Kollegen wegen Lügenpresse gefragt, ob sie als Journalisten in Indien auch das mal zum Hören bekommen, dass sie als Journalisten immer versuchen, nur darüber zu schreiben, was die Regierung möchte, oder eben von der Regierung dann auch als Lüge bezeichnet werden, weil sie dann nicht das schreiben, was die Regierung sich vorstellt. Und daraufhin meinten alle drei Kollegen, da sind sie sich einig, dass die Printredaktion oder die Zeitungen sind nach wie vor zum größten Teil vertrauenswürdig. Aber die Fernsehsender haben an ihrer Vertrauenswürdigkeit total verloren. Es ist ungefähr so, dass jede Person in einer Media-Bubble lebt und er kann sich einen Fernsehsender aussuchen, der seine oder ihre politische Meinung vertritt. Und dann kann er sein Leben lang in diesem Bubble bleiben. Und das ist wohl eine sehr, sehr schwierige Situation. So, after such a depressing topic, let's try to make it a bit more relaxed. So we're going to listen to a song which again is one of the favorites of Dick Bijay. This is from a film called Rang De Basanti from the year 2006. So Dick Bijay, can you say a few words about this song?
Yeah, it's a very refreshing song coming from what we were discussing. It's about celebration of our country and thousands of aspects of beauty that it has. And this movie is also the time when the movie was released was very crucial, because it talks about youngsters of the country sort of coming together and holding the people in power on question, and it sort of gave a direction to the youth that time. That every country has problems. No, not a single country is perfect, but there are ways you can make your own attempts and at least try rather than just sitting and criticizing. And this song is again by A.R. Rahman. He's a genius. And this song, the beauty of this song is it talks about all the regions, all the states of the country, and it's just amazing.
So, the song Rang De Basanti. So now moving to the end of our show today, one very last question. You here as a part of the fellowship, what are your thoughts on the program? Very quick, Digvijay.
Oh, I think it's been a little over two weeks, but it's been exciting and lots of new learnings. And I'm hoping to continue the same once I go to Berlin. And yeah, it's been very exciting and I'm happy to be here. Thanks.
Yeah. Just as my colleague said, it's been rather exciting, very different perspectives from very different kinds of people, a great sort of insight into different aspects of modern German culture. And I'm looking forward to more of this.
Yeah, it's been a learning experience. I think the learning curve has been very sharp. We have looked at a number of different things very quickly. But I think this is just the starting point for a more fruitful stay in Germany and in Europe.
Um das kurz zusammenzufassen, die Kollegen sind ja im Rahmen des Medienbotschafterprogramms und sind sehr froh, dass sie diese Möglichkeit bekommen haben, nach Deutschland zu kommen und sich an dem Programm zu beteiligen. Die haben in den letzten 2,5 Wochen sehr viele Gastvorträge gehabt, mit sehr vielen Leuten sich unterhalten können, sich austauschen können und darüber sind sie sehr froh. Sie haben dabei viel gelernt und sind dafür auch sehr dankbar. So, thank you guys for doing this. As the last song, it is a song brought along by Uttaran today. It is called Tu Kisi Reelsi. So please tell us quickly why this song and why is it so special?
Well, it's special for me because the line Tu Kisi Reelsi Guzarti Hai was written by one of my favorite Hindi poets, Dushyant Kumar. And the music is by Indian Ocean, which is one of the leading bands in India.
So, jetzt das letzte Lied, Tu Kisi Reelsi. Dankeschön fürs Zuhören.
Tu Kisi Reelsi Guzarti Hai Tu Kisi Reelsi Guzarti Hai किसी पुल सा थर थर आता हूं तू भले रत्ती भर न सुनती है मैं तेरा नाम बुदबुदाता हूं लंबे सफर की रातों में तुझे अलाव सा जलाता हूं तू किसी रेल सी गुजरती है मैं किसी पुल सा